Ball is high, it is far, it is gone to win the game.
The Mets are on their way back.
World champions for the 27th time.
Home plate for all things Major League Baseball. This is the Nosebleeds Podcast on WFUV Sports.
On a windy Halloween night in Rose Hill, in our Rose Hill studios, this is the Nosebleeds Podcast. Gear up, listening to us on Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. We're in a warm Rose Hill basement at the moment. I'm joined alongside Grace McCarron and Max Langer and Luis Andrade on the boards. We are cozied up in the stew right now, talking some baseball on Nosebleeds. Right now we're gearing up for Game 6 on this Halloween night. Pretty exciting stuff.
Pretty spooky.
Is there going to be a new Mr. November?
That's
another question.
Alex Call.
No. I can imagine.
So we could just start it up, but I want to first hear what you guys have planned maybe for Halloween, what we're thinking, what are we excited about?
Well, my roommates and I were the three blind mice last night, so that was fun. That was kind of a last minute error. Kind of just like order the ears and see what happens after that. That's kind of like we all cheat Halloween these days because I'm like, I always forget
not
that it's happening.
Costume.
Yeah. I don't really know about tonight. I have a witch hat from last year. I'm probably going to use.
There you go.
But that's...
Witch hat?
Yeah. I bought it at Spirit Halloween when I did like a Spirit Halloween haul last year, and I just never wore it because I didn't go out three nights last year. So got to put it to use if I make an appearance. Or I might just curl up under a blanket and watch the World Series, which is really what I'd like to do.
Sounds like a good night.
Yeah.
Max?
Yeah, you know, I got a tough choice. I can either watch my team play Game 6 of the World Series and possibly lose, or I can experience my first Halloween in college. So I'll probably, you know, go out and check my phone every 30 to 40 seconds to see the update for each pitch.
Vlad Guerrero Jr. hit another game home run to start it. But... I mean, let's just start with what we thought about this series so far. I mean, two nights ago, in Los Angeles, the Blue Jays come out and win. They fire off two home runs to start the game. They win 6-1, and this was now leading us to Game 6 in Toronto. In this series, it was weird to me because I never thought... Listen, I thought the Blue Jays were very good, and I knew they were very good. But when you really think about it, when you think about the evil empire that the Dodgers have been, and you see the roster of pitchers, and you see the guys in the field, and you look up and down the lineup, and you see MVP, 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 Gold Glover, Gold Glover, Gold Glover, everyone that looks so good. But there's something going on right now where really not everyone looks very good.
Yeah.
A lot of mistakes in the field. Mm. There are a lot of errors. The pitching hasn't really been...
Some wild pitches.
The pitching has not been in the Dodgers' favor. I mean, Blake Snell got shelled with 5 runs the last time, 4 walks. He did strike out 7, which is a pretty huge number still. Mm. But you don't expect that your... I guess he's your second ace?
Yeah, Yama your number one, would you say?
Yeah, I think when Blake's on, he's the best. Mm-hmm. When he has his best stuff, there's nobody better. And I would argue in the game. I don't think Skubal or Skeens are better than Snell when they're at the top of the game. But Yamamoto is the more consistent pitcher, so I would say, yeah, he's probably the ace.
I mean, a complete game in his last appearance, so we'll have to see.
Two appearances.
Yeah. He just does that.
How does he follow that up tonight when they have to win?
Well, that's going to be my lead way here.
I'm glad I could offer
that
segue.
Yes, thank you,
for
Grace
you.
McCarron.
Of course.
How do we feel about tonight's game? What are we thinking about it? What do we think so far? I know, Max, you are the Dodger fan here, and me and Grace are just kind of independent observers. So where do you think the Dodgers will be left today?
You know, after watching the 18-inning extravaganza that was Game 3, you know, getting back to my dorm room at about 5 a.m., I thought that the Dodgers were going to clean sweep the rest of the series. I mean, how do you bounce back from that if you're another team, I thought. But the Jays have come out firing, and they seem to have all the momentum. They're getting Springer back for Game 6 tonight. They're back at home. They've never lost a World Series before. I think everything is pointing in the Blue Jays' way tonight, and that's what makes me think the Dodgers are going to force Game 7.
Interesting. Yeah, I would agree. I don't think it's going to end tonight, just because, like, we know what the Dodgers really are. Like, this isn't what they really are. They've been so cold offensively in the past few games. Like, frankly, Kurt, I'm going to bring us back to a terrible time in our lives. They look like the Mets. Like, this is not the team that we have grown accustomed to, as you said, the evil empire that the Dodgers are. So now I'm thinking, like, at what point is Mookie Betts going to have, like, 3 home runs in a game? That could plausibly happen. These guys, you have 3 MVPs at the top of that lineup. Like, there's no reason for them to look like this. Obviously, everybody goes through cold stretches, but, like, this is not who they are. So I do think they win tonight. That's, and also because they have Yamamoto pitching and he's been lights out in pretty much all of his appearances. That said, the Blue Jays have looked like the better team this series. I mean, like, we can talk about Trey Savage and how much of a baller he's been because, yeah. Oh my God, dude, he's 22 and he was in like low A at the start of the season.
He's making $57,000.
Exactly. Literally, like, clearly not getting paid what he's worth. But he's been unbelievable. And the moment has not gotten to him at all. Obviously, we're probably not going to see him again in the next 2 games unless there's something. Maybe another 18 inning game tomorrow. I mean, that would probably kill all of us. But anyway, I think the Dodgers do force a game 7 just because they are the Dodgers. But I also I wouldn't be surprised either way. If the Blue Jays win tonight, I'd be like, yeah, makes sense.
Before I go, Lewis, do you have any take on the series so far and what you think tonight's game will look like? Yankee fan over there, resident Yankee fan.
I don't really think the Dodgers it's going to go their way. They're too cold as it is right now. Like, yeah. 600 OPS as a team, like, I just don't think that's possible to bounce back from that.
I do agree with Lewis to a point. I feel like right now, and you can see it on the faces of a lot of the players, that when they're talking to the media and everything, like, Kike Hernandez is just saying, like, we're getting the balls to hit, but we're just not hitting them.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really know what you want to talk about when you're a player that's you're supposed to be a lot better. I mean, Ohtani had that really legendary game, and then so far after that, he hasn't been, like, incredible.
Right. He's been all or nothing in the playoffs.
It's incredible how he's either been, like, having the single greatest game ever, or he's done absolutely nothing.
I mean, but you look at overall his World Series his playoff stats in general, and he's never really looked that great in the playoffs over his whole entire career.
No.
And isn't that something that's so incredible when you really think about his whole entire, like, Shohei aura, I guess you could say, because that is what it is,
mm-hmm.
is that you think of this guy and it's like, we have to walk him when he's up. We have to see, that's another thing we should talk about. We have to walk him when he's up. We have to pitch around him. But during the playoffs, last time, he got golden sombreroed.
I know.
4-0.
Yeah.
I know.
That's kind of insane.
Yeah.
A lot of these guys, even Will Smith, he got one hit. Teoscar Hernandez, who's for some reason Babe Ruth in the playoffs almost every time that he plays, he got 2 hits. But everyone else on the Dodgers team, pretty bad.
They've scored 4 runs in their last 29 innings. I mean, these are not Dodgers numbers.
No.
Well, I mean, to push back on that narrative, because I've been watching the Dodgers almost every pitch the entire season.
Mm-hmm.
The offense that they are showing right now has kind of been what they were for the entire
So you're saying it's coming back to bite them?
If you look at the playoffs, obviously in the playoffs what we care about most is whether you win or lose. And if you win, nobody complains about anything. And if you lose, people find stuff to complain about. And while the Dodgers were 9-1 before the World Series started, their offense hadn't gotten going. As far as Mookie Betts bouncing back and hitting 3 home runs, he hasn't homered since September 19th.
Right.
He's a singles hitter at this point in his career.
It's actually kind of insane. Yeah.
Like, as much as we want to look at the names and be like they have to bounce back, the Dodgers are an older team.
So
most of their guys
that
are
unks?
They're unks.
The sun has set on the Dodger Empire.
Oh,
other than
God.
Will Smith, our team. Well, no, they're going to go out and sign like 24 year old.
Somehow they're going to figure this out, Kurt.
But
yeah.
As far as the rest of this World Series goes, like. At this point, Dalton Varsha is a better player than Mookie Betts. Like, you just have to wrap your mind around that.
He's been better. Dalton Varsha has been pretty good.
Alejandro Kurt Jr.
is better, yeah.
Vlad Guerrero Jr. has been probably the best player in playoff history for, like, this 21st century in this World Series. He's hitting 350, I think, I'm pretty sure. Something like that.
Even more than that.
He was hitting 444 coming into the series.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
Which is so insane.
Incredible, dude.
He's trying to bring a championship back to Toronto as much as possible, and I think it's pretty incredible. But to break something down really quickly, John Schneider, do we appreciate the managing that he's been doing for the Blue Jays, and do we feel like it's smart to walk the best players?
Yes.
Do you like it personally?
Well, okay, from a baseball fan perspective, just flat out, I want to see the best possible baseball. Obviously, I want to watch Shohei Ohtani do his thing because he is great, as much as we might have animosity towards the guy because he's not on the Mets. But that's not the point. So obviously then you do want to see every one of his at-bats. If I'm a Blue Jays fan, though, I don't want to see this man at the plate for the rest of the series, whether it's over tonight or over tomorrow.
So you walk him every time?
Walk him every time.
You're going to walk him every time today?
Yes, because the argument before was, well, the Dodgers have, you know, three former MVPs at the top of the lineup. Like, Freddie Freeman or Mookie Betts could theoretically do something anyway, even if you do walk Ohtani. But that's not, like, as you said, Mookie Betts has not really done anything. Freddie Freeman has been probably one of their best hitters in the past few games, at least, but they don't have anything right now. So I'm like, yeah, don't let Ohtani, you know, don't give him a chance. Like, I think this is just a layup. Obviously, as a baseball fan, it's boring to walk the best player. Like, nobody likes the intentional walk. I mean, I'm sure you hate when he gets walked every time, but, like, you know, I'd do it.
Yeah, they should do it.
Yeah.
Because out of the rest of those guys, Shohei is the only guy that can single-handedly win a game, and nobody else can do that.
So, yeah. Should there be a change to the intentional walk? Because
you think they should
hearing,
get rid of it?
Maybe not get rid of it, but I think you have to throw pitches.
I think
it wastes time, but I think that you should have to throw pitches. I mean, when they were doing it to Barry Bonds, he still manages to hit balls
Aaron Judge. Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
I think you should have to pitch to them. I don't think that, like, if you're going to intentionally walk them, whatever, sure, you can. But I think you have to pitch them. I don't like the fact that you can just say intentionally walk and move on. I know baseball wants to move the game forward a lot of the time, which makes sense because it can be long when you have an 18-inning game and pitching to guys that, because didn't the Dodgers walk like three guys in one of the innings?
I don't remember.
They loaded the bases.
They also, like, the Dodgers should be walking Vlad at this point.
Well, they are walking Vlad. Yeah. They walked Springer.
Well, but they can't because the guys behind them are actually hitting.
Right. That's they have, like, the opposite
situation. They've got Varsho and Kirk,
which is not at all what I imagine.
Kill the
right.
Dodgers pitcher.
Right, which is, it's just it's a weird situation these days. But I, like, yes, there should probably be a limited number of intentional walks that you can issue, especially when it's to one guy. But, like, the Blue Jays absolutely should be walking him every time. They, you know, you can call them weak-minded or, you know, they're scared of Ohtani.
Oh, no,
like,
I don't think it's weak. I'm not saying for you.
There's some people on the internet who are like, you know, they're scared of him. And I'm like, yeah, you should be scared of
Ohtani.
I'm scared of him. Like, and my, you know, Mets have been out of it for 2 months. Not to bring that up, but there you go.
Yeah. But I also wanted to ask, because we've talked about the series just a little bit, breaking it down, all kind of think different things. I still think the Blue Jays might have to seal the deal today. I don't want to go to a game seven against the
Dodgers.
If
it goes to game seven, I'm kind of worried about the Blue Jays.
But what does this precedent take for baseball with the CBA negotiations that are currently happening? If the Blue Jays win, does this mean that we don't look at a salary cap for the next CBA? Because owners can say, we need a CBA. Look at how unfair it is. The Dodgers go out and sign whoever they want and win.
But on the other hand, the Blue Jays,
who aren't low in payroll, they're 10th in payroll or something like that.
Yeah, they have some decent size contracts.
Still, though, they are not the top people in the league. If this was the Dodgers and, let's say, the Mets, if they were in the different leagues or whatever, it would be like, this is, like, insane. These two teams have the biggest payrolls in baseball. They shouldn't, like, we should have a salary cap.
Right.
Because we need competition. But does this change anything if the Blue Jays win?
I think it helps. It helps to not have a salary cap if the Blue Jays win, is what I mean. Like, you know, I don't think anybody really thought the Blue Jays would make it this far. I was kind of surprised they beat the Yankees, to be honest.
I wasn't.
At first. But now that we think about the Yankees, the 2025 Yankees, now it's kind of like, you know, duh, they should lose to the Blue Jays. But, yeah, I don't know. I think this is kind of the thing that remains to be seen. I don't think it helps anybody if the Dodgers win, especially because it's back-to-back.
Oh, it's going to help me. It's going to help me a lot.
It will not help the fact that there might be a lockout soon, which I would just lose my mind because we already dealt with it for, like, a month a few years ago.
The one thing I want to say about a salary cap that I don't think a lot of people grasp is that baseball instituting a salary cap is not going to change all the players going to the Dodgers.
Yeah.
In fact, it's going to make it worse. Because if you think about it, if the Dodgers and the Brewers, for example, can only offer a max of $10 million to a certain player, obviously they're going to choose to go to the Dodgers.
Yeah.
A salary cap is not going to fix. And, of course, they have to work out the logistics of it all. But to get to your question, Kurt, about does this series change anything? No. It doesn't change anything. I don't think, even if the Rockies win the next World Series next year, that there's not going to be a fight from owners for a salary cap. And the players will never agree to it.
The other issue is that there are some owners who just simply will not spend money. Like, the real thing to me is, like, if you have a salary floor, that will get people to spend money who just, I mean, like, you could go on and on with the teams who just refuse to spend money, like the Pirates, like these bottom of the barrel teams who don't even try anymore. The Angels, not to bring up another personal thing for me, but like that doesn't do anything. Like what you said, like, you know, Steve Cohen is still going to offer the biggest contracts and those players are going to go to the Mets because they want the money, you know, a la Juan Soto. You got it. If you want it to be competitive for all of these lower, smaller market teams, like you need to make these owners spend money or they have to get out, and they won't. So,
Lewis, I saw you have your headset on if you want to jump in.
Yeah. I really have to side with Grace here with the floor idea. It's not more of an idea of, oh, like we can't set a maximum. I really feel like it's kind of like a situation where baseball has gone so far and like been such a success in the market that these players are not going to say, oh, yes, I'll agree to you paying me less money when I succeed. And on top of that, on top of the, like the floor cap, I think there should also be like a restriction on these deferred contracts because I think that's the real issue that's been kind of what the Dodgers have been playing at. You know, give a deferred contract to Shohei, give a deferred contract to Yamamoto, and they're really abusing it when these other teams that are not owned by a conglomerate, a financial company that can just print out money like crazy years in the future by putting some money in a hedge fund and just works out for them. Because some of these teams are owned by individuals and not massive companies. So I think one of the things that I need to address as well are these deferred contracts. Not getting rid of them completely, but limiting them to an extent where like they can't be abused.
I think I agree with deferment on contracts being a kind of a thing that you shouldn't be allowed to use. One, I think that it's a little bit of a future thing where if you're giving out too many deferred contracts, eventually you might not have the money to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm not saying the Dodgers, because they have, I think...
probably won't happen.
They own the Lakers and everything else on the planet. But, essentially, if other teams start giving out contracts that they might not be able to afford, the league is going to get stuck with the money that they owe these players, and people aren't going to be able to pay these contracts out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then that will happen where it will become a issue in court and an issue in news, and I think that deferred contracts... While we haven't seen many teams start to use them other than the Dodgers as much, I think that they have to watch out. Because, again, when you sell a team, now you're selling a team. If someone sells the Dodgers tomorrow, they're probably not going to. But you're immediately selling them with debt to players. You're selling them with another $1 billion in debt to Shohei Ohtani.
Mm-hmm.
Which, in my opinion, already... And also, how do you count that on a salary cap?
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
Because this is another big issue that they're going to have, is that... All right, I've met my salary cap because, again, it's probably the maximum is going to be way over what many teams are already paying for their rosters. So you're going to say, okay, but where did my defer money come in?
Right.
Where does this money come in, and how much do I have to wait for it to get off the books?
Right.
What is the salary for? How does that work? How does it keep getting raised every year? When does it keep getting raised?
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of complications that is going to happen as a result of it's CBA negotiations, and we can talk about this more. I think that the negotiations with the CBA are going to cause a lockout this season. I don't see a world where they can decide on something where the players and the management will both agree with each other, because the league office is not there to protect the players. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
They're there to protect the investors that give baseball the billions of dollars that they've just gotten. Mm-hmm. And the other issue is that baseball just signed a brand new TV deal.
Yeah.
They just signed a new TV with NBC. And that was another issue, was that the NBC TV deal, the money that they got was half of what ESPN was already paying for it.
Yeah.
So a lockout, one, causes baseball to lose a lot more money.
Mm-hmm.
A salary cap might cause baseball to lose more money in the long run for teams and how they count it. So I think now it's probably deferred contracts.
Yeah.
but I don't know what teams will agree to deferred contracts being gone.
Yeah, I did want to get to your point about Major League Baseball stepping in and saying, no, you can't do this, because they have done that in the past. And a great example, since we're here in New York, is when Aaron Judge was a free agent in 2022, the Padres offered him whatever it was, $400 million. Now, he turned it down and went back to the Yankees. But there was an article written that said, if Aaron Judge had signed with the Padres, Major League Baseball would have stepped in and said, no, this isn't happening. You can't do this, because they didn't believe that Peter Seidler and the Seidler family, who at the time was chairman of the Padres, would have been able to fulfill that contract. I think what the big issue is for a lot of money, a lot of teams not having the money, is the regional television system. You know, Bally Sports, so many teams lost their deals. And Major League Baseball is trying to incorporate what would be a, you know, an industry-wide TV deal. But teams like the Yankees and the Mets and the Dodgers and the Red Sox, who are getting paid billions of dollars, are not going to agree to go to MLB TV and get paid, you know, a tiny fraction of that money. So there's a lot of issues at large. But the one that always comes back to me is that I feel like, you know, obviously not everybody can sign Shohei Ohtani. Not everybody can sign Juan Soto. But every single owner who owns these teams are billionaires. They can all afford to sign Blake Snell or Teoscar Hernandez. And instead of offering $50 million to players, they offer $5 million to players. If you want to make a business work, you have to invest in the on-field product, and there are so little teams doing that today.
That's, yeah, that's exactly what my point was earlier, is that there's teams who literally do not try that hard. And when they, let's take the Angels, actually, because there's such a, like, a terrible example of running a team these days. We know what happened with Anthony Rendon. He's barely put on an Angels uniform since he signed in 2019. Like, obviously, they lost Ohtani because the Dodgers can pay him more. But
no, Shohei Ohtani literally took the exact contract he got from the Dodgers and said, Artie Moreno, please sign this for me. And he's like, yeah, not going to happen, buddy.
Exactly.
And then he's like, okay, I'm going to the Dodgers.
Like,
see ya.
Why wouldn't you go to the team that's going to pay you that much? And also the team that does try to win. The Angels don't try to win. They have not been trying to win for years. And, you know, Mike Trout signed a contract that he's going to make him an Angel for life, probably, but they don't try to get better every year. And teams need to try to get better every year. If you are going to complain about, oh, there's, you know, it's only the Dodgers and, like, the Yankees and the Mets who are spending money, and it's not even actually the Yankees. It's mostly the Dodgers and the Mets and, like, a couple others.
The Yankees don't spend money.
Yankees don't spend that much.
I don't want to hear you talking about the Yankees anymore.
They don't, like, there's some teams who just refuse to spend money, and that is why we need a salary floor, and that will make it a little more fair, I think.
Yeah, complacency has really been an issue with this in the league, because, like, these owners are just lining their pockets and thinking, what's the bottom dollar for me? Not thinking about, like, oh, can I make the best organization? And one thing the Mets, I love about them, their owner, Steve Cohen.
You said he loves the Mets, ladies and gentlemen.
Did you say he loves something
about the Mets? He loves the Mets.
I love the owner, Steve Cohen, because I think he is what every MLB owner should be. And
totally.
Especially when I have
He has almost $1 trillion in the bank.
Yeah.
So
it's like, you know, pocket change for him.
Right. Yeah.
But Steinbrenner, the owner of the Yankees, he's literally the opposite of Steve Cohen, and I'm so jealous of that, because he just doesn't care. He's complacent with the Yankees, saying, oh, you know, he could spend way more money than he does, which is, like, not saying that he doesn't spend money, but it's just because, like, oh, you know, we make the playoffs. That's good enough. It's not, you know, not the winning kind of mentality we used to have, but that Steve Cohen has currently. And I think every MLB owner should have that.
One day it'll work out for the Mets.
Well, but just look at this in general. I mean, the Steinbrenners have been making money off the Yankees. They're the most profitable sports team probably in the world. If the Yankees were sold tomorrow, they'll probably be sold for upwards of $100 billion.
Yeah.
I think that's not even crazy to say, because people are like, oh, $10 million, $4 billion, like, I think the Yankees could be sold for $100 billion and no one would blink an eye.
Yeah.
Because of how much money you can make on revenue.
Yeah.
The amount of money that you make on the revenue from the Yankees is insanity. And why would I have to make a profitable baseball team when I'm already pulling in billions and billions of dollars just based off of the Yankee hat alone?
Right.
Why do I care about putting a competitive team? They'll make the playoffs. That's usually not an issue. Being competitive doesn't really matter, though.
Mm-hmm.
Being a World Series team is not for everybody.
Yeah.
The Tigers, for example, they're off on a contract by with Tarik Skubal by $200 million.
That's him $80 million. Like, how do you offer Tarik Skubal $80 million? That's
they
insane.
I also just don't think that they can afford it. I don't know if the Detroit Tigers are able to afford another, how much would it be, $400 million contract for Tarik Skubal. Yeah. I just don't think that that's in their books. And I think now it's a time for players to, one, how much more money are they going to start to offer players? Because I don't disagree.
Mm-hmm.
Players should definitely be making a lot of money. But how much money should the players be making at the end of the day? Because eventually teams aren't going to be able to pay people $1 billion a year, billion-dollar contracts. Because they're getting upwards of that.
Yeah.
Juan Soto making $800 million, $200 million more dollars isn't really sound like a lot. And that's insanity that we're talking about sports right now, and $200 million is like, oh, that's not a ton of money.
Yeah.
That's how it feels right now, and I guarantee that's what the owners of, they're not small market teams. MLB is up 25%, I believe, is the number right now in World Series viewership, and they're making tons of money off of that.
That's incredible for baseball.
It's incredible for baseball.
It's a great time for baseball, and some owners are not, like, pursuing that in the way that they need to be.
The issue is, will a lockout end that great time of baseball?
It's a bad time for them to be in a lockout, because, like, you're missing out. I mean, they have so many great stars. I mean, Shohei Ohtani is a worldwide star. It's not.
He's the reason baseball
is gone.
It's
not just in America. Yeah. It's, you know, obviously Japan, like, loves him like he's God. And,
He's like the Taylor Swift of Japan.
Exactly. Like, it's not a good time for them to have a lock. Even, like, guys like Aaron Judge, like, the marketing for those guys, it helps that they're in, you know, New York and L.A., but the marketing is at a great point for them right now because they have these guys that everybody wants to watch Shohei Ohtani. And a lot of people want to watch Aaron Judge, too. And they're just not really going to. If there's a lockout, like, you're going to lose that.
You lose all excitement.
Yeah.
And that's all, like, it's the same example. I can use a different sport, too.
For the
WNBA.
I knew you were going
to say that. Read my Ram articles about it.
The FordhamRam.com.
A lot of what's happening right now with the WNBA is that it's up in viewers by a billion percent.
Mm-hmm.
That's an exaggeration, but you know what I mean. It's up by so much. And eventually, people are going to... And the WNBA side, no one's going to blame the players because they need to make a lot more money.
Yeah.
In the MLB side, I feel like the public is going to turn their blame to the players and not the organizations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that is going to be the biggest issue for the players in this situation, is that the players are going to be the villains in this situation.
That's what happened in the 90s.
It did.
Yeah. Strike happened.
And I think that no one will be backing the players in this situation. And I think we're in for a very long, long winter with Major League Baseball if they can't figure out something else to do about it.
And the fact, like, you know, obviously Juan Soto has this insane contract, and you can have your opinion on whether it's too much or not. I'm biased. I don't think it's too much.
He should have got more.
But, like, you can't really blame them. Like, they are the product. The owners aren't the product. The players are the product. They are the ones that make...
They produce.
That produce the product. Yeah. Like, that's just the fact of the matter.
We're watching the most exciting baseball
we've ever
seen.
They are the guys who have to put in the work to give us something to watch. And, you know, based on the market and based on how players are getting paid nowadays, obviously, you know, an $800 million contract, like, 30 years ago would have been ridiculous, but... Now it's like, that's where we are. It's probably going to keep going up. Like, that's just how it is.
I wonder who'll be the first player to get $1 billion.
It's going to happen.
We probably have never heard of the guy.
It's going to happen pretty soon. I don't think it's going to happen. I think it will happen way sooner than we think.
Yeah.
Again, $200 million off is not really a lot of money in the end of the day when a lot of the ownership is making... Steve Cohen, I think, rakes in like $1 million a minute or something like that. It's something ridiculous.
Yeah.
I wish. Well,
must be a good life.
Any closing thoughts before we wrap this episode? I mean, I think it's a lot more CBA focused than World Series focused, I think the World Series is kind of a catalyst for what's coming up on the back burner right now.
Well, it will be another year.
Yeah, we have 2026, and then after that, we don't know what's gonna happen.
So
I think. A little part of me wants this to go seven games because I like more baseball than less baseball.
True.
But I also want the Blue Jays to win, and I worry that if we let the Dodgers have a little too much time on the field, they're going to actually start looking
Figure
like the
out.
Dodgers, and I'm a little concerned about that. So I hope the Blue Jays win tonight. Sorry, Max.
Closing thoughts?
Yeah, I just want to gush about game three for like 70 seconds or something.
I forgot
like
about that.
Because there were so many insane moments in that game.
I didn't even
just
watch
watching
the whole thing.
I mean, everyone's going to talk about like Kershaw and Will Klein and Eric Lauer. But the most like ridiculous moment to me, just as like a baseball nerd, was when in the 10th inning, Roki Sakai faced Miles Straw, mm-hmm. which like brings back all these memories of January when Roki Sakai was going to sign. And on the day he signed, the morning of, the Blue Jays traded for Miles Straw from the Guardians so that he could get a little bit extra bonus pool money to try to sign Sasaki. And then like 5 hours later, he chose the Dodgers. That was like a ridiculous full circle moment for me. And I don't think many people understood that, but that was like mind-boggling when I watched it.
I just thought it was really funny. Clayton Kershaw takes about 50 years to warm up nowadays.
Well, he's getting old.
He's,
you know?
He's old.
It happens.
He's definitely old. I thought it was fun that he went on the mound after
yeah.
and with his family and friends and looked out for probably the last time at
yeah.
Dodger Stadium.
Well, that's the last time at Dodger
yeah.
Stadium. He's never going to pitch there again, which is kind of
so
crazy
kinda,
to think about.
It's kind of insane.
We grew up watching him.
Yeah.
We're getting old, Kurt.
I don't want to think about that, Grace. Thank you.
But
we're
going to
see DeGrom retire soon and things like that.
Oh, that's not going to be a good day in my house. but I unfortunately did not make it to the end of game three. I think it ended at like 3 o'clock in the morning.
I went
to bed at like 1:15. I was like, this is never going to end and I do have stuff to do tomorrow.
Went to bed at 2?
Yeah.
Ruined my rest of my day.
I was like, this is, you know, the thing's got to unfortunately get done.
Wow.
If it was the Mets, I probably would have been awake.
Oh, no, I would have
been
too.
But, you know, I did. It was a great game. I mean, what I saw, it was a fantastic game. I saw like 14 innings. Like,
yeah.
It was fantastic.
It was fun.
I'm sure the reporters there weren't that pleased about.
If I was in the press box for 18 innings, I would have
fallen asleep
long ago.
It's the longest I was in the press box. I think it was like 13 innings. And
you were there for
a while,
I remember
delays.
That.
Yeah, that was against the Dodgers, actually, at Citi Field. That was...
Oh, that was the freaking Marte interference game.
Yeah, that
might have
been.
Called out at
There was like an hour, 40-minute rain delay, and then it went into extra innings, and I actually... And we had one-on-one the next morning. I did the beat report with you at the studio.
Yeah.
That was not great. But... Anyway, the point is, that was a great baseball game. I kind of hope that happens again tonight, but just because the tension, like the elimination game and nobody can score a run and you're running out of people to throw pitches, that's a lot of tension. And as a impartial viewer here, I don't really care what happens, but...
Go Dodgers.
Yeah, some might say that.
Well,
I'm not saying anything.
I say Toronto is bringing back a World Series trophy to Canada. And I would like to end this episode off. Thank you so much for listening to Nosebleeds. I have been Kurt Sipple, joined with Grace McCarron, Max Langer sitting next to me as well, Luis Andrade behind the board, and giving some great insight other than that he's a Yankee fan. And Nosebleeds is a production of WFUV Sports. Let's go Blue Jays!